I have my own. Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't think we're gonna dismiss children today. Is that right? I can't remember what we decided. So no children's church this morning. You're stuck with me, so. Anyways, you're welcome. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Again. We're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 10 this morning. First Timothy 6, 3 through 10. Beginning in verse 3, it says, "If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and he understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Let's pray. Holy Father, Lord, we pray that you open our hearts this morning. We pray, Lord, that you help us to know what your word is telling us. And help us to not just let it go in one ear and out the other, Lord, but let us consider these things, Jesus. We praise you and we pray that you just be in this place. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So I want to thank everyone for coming this morning. We're going to try to wrap this up in time for the parade, because for some reason somebody thought it was a good idea to make the parade interrupt a lot of church service time. So I'm going to talk with somebody about that. But in any event, I want to ask the question, what is the source of your motivation? What is it that you crave, right? The idea that Paul is getting at here is like he's trying to focus on the source of our motivation. And he knows that everyone is motivated to do something, but like, where does this motivation come from? Like, we get up every morning, we go to the gym, right? Some of us. And we lift weights, we get on the treadmill. Why? Why do you get out of bed every morning? What is your motivation? I had to study something in my, when I went to college, you know, 20 million years ago, and it was about the sleeping positions that people have, you know, like the psychology studied the sleeping positions. And these are the basic, you know, the basic ones behind me here. So I always thought the one starfish was kind of funny, you know, like it basically meant that you were on top of the world, that you had no worries whatsoever. You were full of confidence. And it makes me think, what is our motivation for that? Like, why do we get out of bed every morning? Why is it like this? And I think that Paul's saying that we have to remember our focus. He talks about godliness a couple times in this passage. He says in verse 3, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. We talked about this a little bit this morning in Sunday school. He's like pride, you know, prideful. But like Paul is saying that godliness is not a means by which we gain materially or financially. But godliness is the one thing that we can take with us when we die. And he talks about, we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. I think he's calling us to be realistic about material possessions here, right? He's saying we can't take anything into the world. We didn't bring anything in. Job says, naked I came and naked I'll leave, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, we're like the bookends on a shelf. That's what our life is like. We can't take anything with us. There's a couple words in this passage that I want to look at. This is the Greek word that it says, it's found in verse 6. Or rather, Jesus Christ. Sorry about that. It's in verse 4. He says he has an unhealthy craving for controversy. So this word, it's pronounced nason. It means to have this sentence means to have a morbid craving for something. In other words, this word that you see on the screen, it says nason, it means like sick. It means like morbid. Like it literally means like illness. So in other words, Paul's talking about this craving that people have, this morbid craving that people have for controversy, this sick craving. Like there's something wrong with them if they have this thing. And like he says in verse 3, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving. He has a morbid, sick, twisted craving for controversy and quarrels about words. It kind of reminds me of somebody, like the word drama queen comes to mind, right? You have a morbid craving for controversy, like you feed off of it. Well, Paul's saying, like, you don't understand. You're lacking understanding. He's telling us that if someone is looking to money or power for our motivation, like the reason we get up out of bed in the morning, then his cravings are misplaced. He craves the things of the world. He seeks to be on top, both in finances and both in authority, and also in authority. He seeks to elevate himself. And like I mentioned, the bookends, right? He was born with nothing and will die with nothing. And I think birth and death in a person's life is set in place in order that we might remember who we are. We're not God, after all. Now think of if you look at a shelf, the bookends. You have bookends on the shelf. Say your shelf is as long as a stage, but you only have so many books, right? So you use bookends to keep the books in a specific order. The birth and the death. Everything in between is your life. The books in between the bookends are your life. And Paul is using this you can't bring anything into the world and take anything out, because he wants us to see that people who are after these material things, they have a self-seeking God complex, right? They want to serve themselves. Self-serving. And we're putting these things in front of God, which is called idolatry, right? Anytime we put something in front of God, we're idolizing it. I told you this a few weeks ago. When I went to college, my professor, he told me that there was only one kind of sin. There's really only one kind of sin. And that's idolatry, right? If we murder, it's because we're serving ourselves. We don't want that person. We're playing God by murdering someone, right? If we lie, we're protecting ourselves. We're protecting our pride, right? God forbid anything should happen to our pride, right? Just look at our Facebook pages. Anything we don't want on our Facebook page or social media, we delete. If one of our friends says something embarrassing, it's over. We get rid of it. And our pride is something that we put before God. Pride says that we are the most important thing. But really, what is that? It's self-worship, right? It's idolatry. And in the Ten Commandments, we can see how all the commandments basically point towards idolatry. If we lie, we're placing ourselves before God. If we put anything before God, like the second commandment, we're putting something before God. That's an easy one, right? If we're committing adultery, that's idolatry. We're serving ourselves, or you could look at it like we're worshiping something else. And that's what idolatry is. It's committing adultery on God. We are cheating on Him for something lesser. To fulfill an immediate desire. We're doing this to have instant gratification. Instantly gratified pleasure. I mean, it's always good to better ourselves, don't get me wrong. And I don't think that the Bible's teaching against that. I don't think the Bible's telling us, don't better yourselves. I think it's, in fact, the opposite. Some who desire, though, to be rich have extremely strong motivation. Like, look at the source. They desire material possessions. Their motivation is so strong that they'll do whatever it takes to reach the top, including compromising their integrity. And I hope that, this is a little rabbit trail, but I hope you're hearing this. I mean, like, there's a lot of events going on this today and this week. We're in this moment right now. Let's hear what the Word has to say. Don't be distracted. What is the source of your motivation? Will you do anything you can in order to get what you want? Like, will you cheat? Will you cheat on a test? Will you cheat on something else, someone else, in order to get what you want? Will you compromise your integrity? Verse 9, it says that the love of money is the root of all types of evil. And that's because people will stop at nothing to get more of it, right? It's like a tree. Just like the tree grows from its roots, so also will evil grow from the love of money. In other words, like, it just keeps going. We better check ourselves. And I think we've all clearly put things in front of God. And this is why we've done drugs, you know, or why we got drunk that one time or those every times, or we don't put God first in our lives. Paul says in verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, this is the cure. This is the cure to a misplaced motivation. Paul's saying that godliness, that contentment, it's kind of connected to godliness. Do you see that? If we're not content and we search out these things like to no end, what are we doing? We're putting things in front of God, right? This word behind me, it's eusebia. This is the word that says, it means godliness. It's translated godliness in our text. But what does godliness really mean? I think that understanding what this word means really brings out the meaning behind this passage. And it's that godliness means God-likeness. In other words, when you call someone godly, that's like the best compliment that you can give a Christian brother or sister, right? If you're saying this person is very godly, what does that image look like in your minds? You know what I'm saying? Like, it means they're godlike. But in what manner are they godlike? In the manner of goodness. Eusebia. God-likeness. Paul's telling his readers that This is the answer. He's saying that being like God is the greatest gain. And the only way that we are going to do that is if we know his Son. Paul takes all of these principles from what he knows about Jesus. What will you do to get what you want? What is the source of your motivation? Will you cheat on your taxes? Are you the same person in the dark as you are in the light? That's a tough question. That is the answer to integrity. If you ever wonder if you're a person of integrity, a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, how are you in the dark when no one's watching? Are you the same person in the dark as you are in the light? What is the source of your motivation? I want you to think about this. Does your motivation come from within you? Does it come from within inside you? And I think that if it does, I mean, like, sometimes it can, right? Like, we can be, you know, excited or whatever. But eventually, realistically, our batteries are going to run out. And then what? Where do we get our motivation? Where does the source? What is the source? I think that our motivation must come from outside ourselves. Because then we have something to reach for. We have hope, right? If God is our motivation, we have some standard that we can always reach out to and take hold of. Because we're emotional, right? We're so emotional. We change, we fluctuate. Like, one day can be good, another day can be bad, the next day we can be dead, the next day, well, there is no next day, I guess. But you see what I'm saying? Like, we're on a roller coaster. What can we possibly find within ourselves? And I think that's why there's such a lack of hope on the reservation and in the world. People seek to serve themselves, right? They do it by doing drugs. I'm sure we've known somebody, or we presently know somebody, who has issues with this. And you can see, like, they're trying to grab their happiness. They're trying to grab joy. They're trying to get a hold of something that gives them excitement, right? And they go and do drugs or other addictions. They put these things in their lives. They fornicate, all because they seek to serve and please themselves. They find happiness from something laterally. But this is what Paul is saying. We don't find that by looking laterally. Ecclesiastes says, it continually says the phrase, under the sun. Solomon writes, you know, like, I looked under the sun and I saw all the rivers and they were flowing into the ocean, but the ocean never fills up. It's a chasing after the wind. And he's talking about all this kind of stuff. He's saying, everything under the sun, there's nothing new. Right? Like, and he's right. You can say, well, they didn't have cars back then. Come on. Yeah, right. But they had transportation. Right? They had music. They might not have had electric amplifiers. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no hope laterally. But Paul is saying the source of your motivation must be vertical. It can't be from inside you, because you fail. You can look at your own life and say, you can see that where you've made mistakes, where you've failed. I said this last week, and I just want to drive this home, that the church is to be a place of order because of things like this. The church is the beacon. The church is the map for people on the reservation. They can see order in the church. They can see that when they look in the church, that our cravings, they're not laterally. They don't see a bunch of people who are just depressed out of their minds all the time, every moment of their living days, right? Because we're not looking laterally for our hope. We can't look at each other for our hope. We can't look at substances for our hope. Hear this. We can only look vertically. We can only see, we can only look to God for our hope. What is it that you crave? Is it godliness? Or is it power or possessions or... You see, godliness is something that we can take with us. We can take godliness with us when we die. It doesn't weigh anything. Paul says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. What do we crave? And this is where I think the spiritual discipline of tithing, it shows us that we don't trust in money, that we're not hooked on money. It proves to us, ourselves and to God, that we're not hooked on it. The source of our craving tells us a lot about our character. What do you crave? I'd like to invite some ushers up here for communion to pass out the elements. But before we take the Lord's Supper, I'd like everybody to take a moment to speak with Jesus. Talk with him. Admit your fault of looking laterally and not vertically. Admit to him the things that you put before him. Be here in this moment. Tell him that you want him to be the source of your motivation. And mean it. godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Take the bread. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Take this cup as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Take the cup. Let's pray. Holy Father, Lord, We thank you for your blessings and for your love for us. We thank you for sending Jesus to do the work on the cross that set things straight between man and God. Lord, we pray that you help us to understand the source for our motivation. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord. Lord, we want you to be the source for our motivation, because this is where true joy comes from. Not from substances, not from other people, Lord. We know that they will fail us. We know by experience. And we continue to go back to them, even knowing that they will fail us. Lord, teach us to go to you. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.